stairs toward the red bed, making sure that I know to follow. You were right about this. It's a fucking blast. And you were right about everything, and it's hard not to throw the books at the wall and scream at the top of my lungs, "I fucking love you, Mary Kay DeMarco!" The day drips on, and the quietude is eerie. It's dead lately, which gives us time to hatch plans for our bordello. But sometimes quiet is too quiet, and you whisper at me, "I think our sex vibes pushed everyone away." And you are right. Love is powerful that way, and finally, it's time to go home. We feed our cats, and we fuck our brains out again, yay, and once again we're naked and sweaty, wrapped up in each other, coming back to Earth. "What a day," you say, "and I can't wait to get away for a few days. Is that awful?" "Not at all," I say, because it isn't. "Hey, have you heard from Seamus?" "Not much. I think he's out of town on some CrossFit thing."
"Does he seem off to you?"
Stupid? Yes. Shallow? Yes. Off? No. Well, I think it's to be expected. It's hard for people who are alone to see two people fall in love.
"Right," you say. "Everyone says that love makes the world go around, but it also makes the world a cruel, exclusive place. Like a book club that tells you there's no more room at the table."
You are so smart, and I kiss your forearm. I'd be depressed if I was in his shoes.
"Oh, no," you say. "He doesn't like me like that."
"Of course he does."
"I just worry."
"I think that's natural. When things are really good, you worry more than normal. You are vulnerable, and there is goop in the corners of your eyes."
"Yeah."
"But tomorrow, we're going to go to Victorian Cedar Cove." You grin like a kid.
"Yeah."
"And everything is going to be fine. Assuming that Victorian sex isn't dangerous," you laugh.
"Victorian sex is perfectly safe, I promise."
"No, Mary Kay. You and I are perfectly perfect. Soon you're asleep, snoring, and even that's not annoying. I'm too happy to sleep. I order some more balloons for Nomi's graduation party next weekend. I bet Phil wouldn't have ordered balloons. And I pick up one of your Murakamis, and I'm half reading, half daydreaming about you as you dream on my body. I love to look down and see you there. I love that you want to be here with me, and I feel like I can see the neurons firing inside of your mind, forging new pathways, everything leading to me, to happiness. I'm hungry, so I go downstairs to fix a snack. We're out of eggs, so I grab a Hostess cupcake. R.I.P. Melinda had good taste in junk. And I tear off the wrapper, and the cupcake tastes like childhood, like sugar. And then my phone buzzes. I have one new text message, and that message is from Love Fucking Quinn. "We need to talk." She never writes to me, and my legs fill with pins and needles. I put my phone on the counter, and no, this is not happening. I'm hallucinating. I should have gone to sleep like you, and my screen is black, and maybe I was hallucinating. But then my phone lights up again. One new email from Love Fucking Quinn. She's never texted me, and she's never emailed me, but she is the mother of my son. All the worst thoughts flood my mind at once. 40 fell down the stairs. 40 drowned in the pool. Tressa stole 40. And I grab my fucking phone and I walk out fucking side and I call Love Quinn on the phone. The phone rings once and she doesn't pick up. And I see my son in the arms of some pervert who played the injustice system and got a job at Disneyland. The phone rings again. And I see my son with half his face torn off by a Rottweiler. Love trusts bad dogs. I don't. And the phone rings a third time, and I don't know where my son is right now. Did he just crawl out of an open window in a high-rise in New York City? And are my tears from heaven? Did he die without ever getting to meet his own father?
"Well, hello," she says. "I thought you'd be sleeping."
"Is 40 all right?"
"Ah, I'm good, Joe. Thanks for asking.
Is he sick?
I think I have new allergies, but I don't have it in me to get tested. All those needles?
The level to which I did not miss the sound of her voice, I cut her right off. Don't fuck with me. Is my son okay? Yes or no?
Joe, he's fine.
Thank God.
Well, okay, but maybe more like thank me, because I'm the one who actually takes care of him.
What's going on, love?
I sent you an email. I bought you a plane ticket, and you're coming to LA tomorrow.
I say nothing because that's what she deserves. Nothing.
All right, she says. It's simple, Joe. I need to see you. We need to see you. So I bought you a plane ticket.
If I ask her to wait until Monday, she might hang up on me. I want to see my son. I want to be with you, Mary Kay. My neurons are being torn in half.
Joe?
I'm here.
Good. And you'll be here tomorrow, because if you're not, well, you're doing so good with your girlfriend and her daughter. I mean, I know you'd hate for them to find out about the family you left behind.
She knows. How does she know? And she's doing it again, twisting all the facts, and I want to climb into the phone and choke her out, and it's 2021, and why can't we teleport? I am steady. Breathe, Joe. Breathe. I didn't leave you, love.
Oh, yes, you did, she says. You got into a car my parents gave you, and you drove to a house my parents bought for you, and those are the facts. I'm sure you've twisted it all in your head to make yourself some kind of victim slash martyr, but I know things, and if you want me to keep my mouth shut, well, I'll see you tomorrow. Today, actually. So you better go back to bed. The car will be there soon.
She hangs up on me, and I can't move. I can't breathe. I just die underneath, and she is the shark inside my shark. She cut me open and extracted all my secrets. I puke off the side of the deck, and I look upstairs, and the lights are still out in our bedroom. I get in my car,
a car my parents gave you,
and I call Oliver, and I get voicemail, and I text Oliver, 911, and I call again, and it's soothing in some demented way, like knitting while the person you love is in surgery. Finally, he picks up, groggy.
Joe? It's a little late.
What did you tell her?
What did I tell who?
Love called me, Oliver. She sent me a plane ticket, and we had a fucking deal.
Slow down.
I bought every piece of art you wanted, and you said you had my back. You said you'd keep the Quins out of the picture.
Joe?
What?
Are you calm?
Am I calm? She bought me a fucking plane ticket.
And what did you do before that?
Oliver, you've been stalking me and watching my every fucking move, and you know I did nothing. He sighs.
First of all, I don't know anything about a plane ticket.
Bullshit.
Second of all, if my ex-girlfriend, who is the mother of my child, was both well-heeled and, well, a little dramatic, I think I'd think twice about bragging about my brand new fucking make a family on a public forum.
I did not post a picture of Mary Kay. I only post books. But he railroads.
I wouldn't let the whole world know that I'm in love with a woman, and I wouldn't want my ex to see me playing dad with another family, because I'd be smart enough to know that my ex wouldn't like that, my friend.
Oliver, for fuck's sake, I didn't post a goddamn thing about Mary Kay.
Ah, he says. But your MILF did.
I take the hit, and Oliver laughs, and I hear Minka in the background.
See?
He says.
Minka says this is a double fuck-up because your lady friend tagged you, which makes it seem like you thought you were being coy, you know, posting without posting.
It's no use fighting him because Oliver is right and Minka is right, and I never should have let you throw us to the wolves. But I did let you do it, didn't I? It's not your fault for wanting to post a fucking selfie, but it's my fault for going along with it.
You make me so happy that I got stupid. I did this to myself, and I was doing so good. I did not kill Melanda. I did not kill Phil. I did not kill Ivan. But I might have killed us, Mary Kay. The call ends, and I can't feel my feet, and my eyes are twitching. I walk upstairs to our bedroom. You're still sleeping, but in the morning you'll wake up, and I won't be here. I pick up a notepad on my nightstand. I grab one of your tchotchke pencils. Virginia Woolf's head in place of an eraser. The absurdity of this moment. The horror. I don't know what to tell you, and my flight is in a matter of hours, and I just promised to be here. With you. I scribble lies on a notepad. My bullshit words are sticks that will hurt you, and the last two are stones. Love, Joe. You know I love you. But you don't know that I can't avoid Love, Quinn. I pull the covers back. I get into bed and you are in a deep sleep, but even in this state you are drawn to me, moving into me as you make room for me. Such a good fit. The only true fit I've ever known. I hate that you'll wake up tomorrow and realize that R.I.P. Melanda was right all along. That men always let you down, that they bail on you because men do fucking suck. But so does love, Mary Kay. So does love. Chapter 41. Bon Jovi said that true love is suicide, and he was right. Love is trying to kill us, Mary Kay. I got off the plane, and I got into the black car she sent for me, and now I'm at the door to a honeymoon suite at Commerce fucking Casino. She's in the room. She's listening to my George Harrison, Hare Krishna, Hare 40, and I knock on the door like an ABC primetime bachelor-brained loser, like I want her rose. She opens the door, and she is thin. Thinner in person than she is on Instagram, and she's wearing a Pixies t-shirt, as if she likes the Pixies, and see-through panties. I smell kombucha and salad water and matcha, and did I really love this creature, or did I only love what it felt like to be inside this little creature? She doesn't kiss me. Come on in, Joe. There are rose petals on the California King bed, and the bathtub is full of Veuve, and she thinks we can go back to that first night we fucked in the tub full of pissy bubbles, and I didn't want that then, I don't want that now, and I hate rose petals. I hate overpriced champagne, and she doesn't get me, not the way you do. And that's when I feel something dig into my back. A gun. This is not a duel. I don't have a gun. And Melanda was right. A girl is a gun. And if anyone should have a weapon, it's me. She stole my child. Ah, she says, as she makes eye contact with me in the mirror. So, you don't miss me. Love, put down the gun. Just say it. I know you. I feel you not wanting me. You don't love me. You're not excited to see me. You have a fucking gun on me. Oh, please. That doesn't scare you. Don't forget, Joe. I know you. She doesn't know me. She knows things about my past, and I am not that man anymore, and I slowly turn around and face the woman who made me a father. Love, it's a two-way street. Don't forget that I know you too. She grunts. Like hell you do. Love, you don't want me back. You can't do what you did to me and then tell me that you love me with a bed of fucking rose petals. She grunts. You're such a snob. You really are, Joe. See that? There it is. All of this? I don't know what it is, but it sure as hell isn't a grand gesture, and you can't point a fucking gun at me and tell me that you want me back. I'm just responding to you, she says. You started it. You don't want me. You paid me to go away. You. I look around. I want him to be here. He's my son, but I don't want him to be here. She has a gun. He's not even here, is he? Who? My son.
Right, she says. Your son. See, it's usually the girl who uses the guy to get the baby. It's usually the woman who loves her kid more than her husband, but then you're not usual, are you?
What are you trying to say?
You fell out of love with me the day I told you I was pregnant.
That's ridiculous. The baby was just as much a surprise for me as it was for you. Just because I was excited about becoming a father. Love, put down the gun.
No.
Well, which is it, rose petals or bullets?
Say it.
I was in prison.
And I was pregnant. What's your point?
I told you, love, the only reason I survived in there, the only reason I didn't lose my fucking mind, was the fact that we were gonna have a family.
Right, she says. You should put that on a card, Joe. I only fell in love with my girlfriend when she was pregnant with my baby, and I knew I spread my seed.
How can you say that?
Because it's true. Because the minute I told you about the baby, even before you got arrested, you didn't look at me the same way. You didn't want me. You wanted your baby.
Love, put down the gun.
You notice that every time I tell you the truth, you tell me to put down the gun?
It's true. But she ended all possibility of an honest negotiation when she pulled out that fucking gun, and that's the only fucking truth that matters right now. She could shoot me, so I have to stay calm.
Gently, Joseph.
Come on, love. You know that's not true.
You're incapable of love, Joe. You couldn't see your face every time I risked exposure to disease and criminals, spiritually, physically, but every time I went to see you, you didn't look at me. You looked at my body like I was a fucking piece of Tupperware carrying your lunch.
Put down the, she smiles. Evil, spoiled, wrong.
What did you say, Joe?
You're not remembering things clearly. I was worried about you. All the stress?
Aw, she says. You didn't think I was durable enough for the job, did you?
Yes, I fucking did.
Ah, she says. So you did think of it as my job to carry your offspring into this world? The second you knew about your seed planted inside of me, I stopped being a person to you.
It's not like that.
Oh, so what? You go to jail and you think you're so experienced? And you just fall out of love with me because I'm out shopping for the baby and meeting with doulas and not obsessing over you 24 hours a day?
Bullshit, I snap. Do you know what I was obsessing over in that fucking hellhole? You, love. I could feel you turning on me a little bit more every time you visited. I hated the fact that I couldn't shop for cribs with you or meet the goddamn doulas, but I blamed the system. You, on the other hand, you blame me. I too speak the truth, but she holds the gun. So she's ranting again, raving about how I didn't love her. This, coming from the woman whose family paid mercenaries to get rid of me, as if I am the one in this family with all the problems. She's the sick one. She's the one who told me that I didn't kill R.I.P. Beck or R.I.P. Peach because they were both just using you for their murder-suicide story that began before they even knew you. And the worst part is that I did fall out of love with her. I, too, was a little less excited every time she visited. I wanted to love her. I did, but I couldn't. It's the big things. She used our baby as a chess piece. And it's the little things. She prefers the fake snow at the Grove outdoor shopping mall to real snow. And she's still ranting. And she feeds my son guac and cilantro. And I obeyed her wishes. I moved away. I went against the rules of fucking nature to appease her, and what does she do to me? She hits me when I'm up. I don't want to love you, Mary Kay, I just fucking do. And love points at the sofa.
Right there, she says. And don't try to fight me. I am prepared to shoot you. This thing has a really good silencer.
As if I don't know that she can afford all the best things, as if that isn't the reason that she's so demented, because money doesn't make anyone happy unless they do something good with it. I practiced, she says. I've been spending time at a gun range, and if you try to fight back... This from a woman who stole my son. I mean it, Joe. I will kill you. I don't want to fight you, love. I came here to make peace. People who have kids like to tell people who don't have kids that there are things you can't understand until you become a parent. That parenthood changes you and that you don't know what love is until you become a mother, a father. It's an insulting position that makes you realize how loveless so many people actually are. But they are right about one thing. Motherhood does change women. This isn't love, Quinn. This is love sick, armed and dangerous. My phone is off and you're awake by now. I'm sorry, Mary Kay. And love is pacing, chewing on her fingernails, what's left of them. And is she on meth? I'm not happy, Joe. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Are you? Of course I am. You have every reason to be happy. You have 40. Is he with your parents? My parents don't know I'm here, Joe. I'm not a teenager. I don't tell them every single thing I do. She cocks her head. And I don't know why you're pretending to care about 40 now. You always wanted a girl, and you never wanted a son. Your friend Mary Kay has a daughter. Now, doesn't she? It's a sucker punch, and I didn't see it coming, and I can't keep up with her. The floor is shaking. There are earthquakes in Los Angeles, even when there aren't. And Oliver was right. That's what this is really all about. I remain calm. Love? I've always loved 40. I'm thrilled to have a son. And Mary Kay has nothing to do with us. I met her because you sent me away. Let's be reasonable. Reasonable. Love? Joe? You were never reasonable. I mean, you say that like I don't know what you're capable of. I grit my teeth. Was capable of. Yes, I was postpartum. She is postpartum. And I sent you away, but you're you. I thought you'd swim through the moat and throw rocks at my window. I thought you'd fight, that you'd steal him or die trying or blow your brains out.
You know I'd never blow my brains out or put our kid in harm's way. We put the child first. That's all I did.
No, she says. Unreasonable and more spoiled than ever, and imagine what she's doing to my son. All you did was stalk me on Instagram.
What did you expect me to do? You didn't block me.
I was trying to be nice.
So you think that's nice? You think I should be content to watch videos of my son?
Well, I know you. I know you're more at ease watching people from afar than really getting close to them.
Not anymore. Not since you, Mary Kay. That's just not true, love.
Well, here's what is true. You found your little librarian, and you think you get to have your nice little life and still spy on us?
I never wanted to be a spy. I wanted to be a dad. I am his dad.
You drifted, she says. You didn't see us at the zoo last week.
I was with you and Nomi, and it's not my fault that stories disappear.
You watch less and less, as if we're not entertaining enough for you, as if you don't need us anymore. I know, Joe. I always look at the list of viewers, and do you know what it was like to look at that list and see your name less and less?
Fucking Instagram, and no one should look at that fucking list. Love? Instagram isn't real.
Well, time is real, Joe. And you invested more and more of your time with your new little wannabe family, which says a lot about how much you love your little savior.
And what about you? You don't have a moat. You're not a helpless fucking princess. You didn't call me up and say, hey, what happened to you? What do you want me to say? How can we make this work?
But she isn't my co-parent. Well, look at that, she says. Love and happiness agree with you, Joe.
I'm not happy, I lie. She laughs.
Are you kidding? You are so happy. Most men, if you took away their son and the woman they supposedly love, the only woman alive who really knows them.
You did that, love. You sent me away, love.
And you left, she says. Do you even care what it's been like for me?
Of course I care. But I don't care. Not anymore. I love you, not her. She picks at the barrel of her gun.
Well, I got jury duty.
I thought your dad always got you out of that.
This time I went, she says. Like some everyday person with no connections, you know, like a librarian.
She has the gun and the money, so she gets to play dirty, and I stay silent.
I left 40 with Tressa and drove to the Clara Shortbridge Foltz Criminal Justice Center. They make you park a mile away, and I had to walk all the way from Disney Hall, but I got there.
I wish you were here, Mary Kay. Because as my co-founder of the Empathy Bordello, you would see what I see. A profoundly lonely woman with no one to talk to, no one to listen to her describe her day.
I brought my chargers, Larabars.
She winks at me, and my blood pressure spikes. I told her R.I.P. Beck ate Larabars, and I miss the man I am with you.
So then I got selected.
She flips her hair like she got a part in a movie.
I went upstairs, and I saw this poor guy in these dress pants that are 5 inches too short with his lawyer, who was terrible.
Love, we both know that the injustice system is rigged. Her eyes narrow.
Seriously, Bainbridge boy, can I just tell my story?
I nod. I have to remember. Love is unloved. Lonely. Los Angeles.
We got numbers assigned, and I was number one.
Oh, that's right. She's an actress.
The judge asked me all these personal questions about my history, and he goes around the room asking everyone, and everyone's telling their story, and I feel so close to these people, like we were in this together, like a family, you know?
No, I don't know. I get it. That's a lot to take in.
They sent us home, and I went out with some of the jurors because we were all so shook.
I don't like the word shook. It's a fake word, and this is fake news.
And we wound up at this lounge downtown, and it was a really late night.
Her voice drifts in a way that reminds me that love is perverted.
Anyway, I went back the next day, but I didn't get picked to be on the jury. I started reaching out to my new friends, and they all just blew me off. Every single one of them.
She's so lonely. And you would feel bad for her too, Mary Kay, even though she's making it impossible for me to comfort her right now. The gun. The gun. I'm sorry, love. I am.
I miss my brother, Joe. I miss having my people. I thought those people could be my people.
Los Angeles is the opposite of friends, and my heart hurts for love. It does, but I don't want love. I want you.
Anyway, she says, I told Tressa and Mom and Dad that I got picked. For the past few weeks, I've been here, sequestered.
Living in a casino would drive anyone crazy, and I tell Love that we can get her some help, and she shakes me off.
No, she says. I don't need help. I know why I didn't get picked for the jury, and I know why everyone blew me off. See, the judge asked us if we could be impartial in spite of our experiences. Most people said no. I said yes. I know how to love people who do terrible things. It's who I am. It's how I was born.
Well, fuck the jurors, love, because if you ask me, that's a beautiful thing about you. You have an open heart. It's no reason to be sad.
Do you think I don't know what you did to my brother? My nerves go haywire, and no. I did nothing to your brother.
You were in Vegas with him. You dragged him to the desert.
Love, you don't know what you're saying.
I knew it, Joe. In my gut, and I kept waiting for myself to fall out of love with you because if those girls, well, I didn't know them, but 40 was my brother. He was my twin.
I didn't kill your brother.
No, she says. But you didn't save him either.
Love, come on. No one could have saved him. He was beyond redemption. You make it sound like I was with him, like I could have stopped him from jaywalking, like I could have stopped that car. I didn't want him to die. Of course I wanted to fucking kill him. He was blackmailing me, erasing me from all the work I did, and yes, I almost did it in Vegas. I wanted to end his life, but I didn't, just like I didn't kill Melinda or Phil. Wanting is not a crime.
Julie Santos, she says. I think of that woman every day.
The name is Saint Julie, and I nod. It's not her fault. It's not my fault. Love, you're right. Twins have a bond, and nothing can get in the way of that, and no one knew him like you. So no one misses him like you, and I can't change that, but I can help.
No, she says. You can't help. We're the same. You lost your son, but you're up there bopping around like the happiest guy on earth.
You saw a couple fucking pictures, and I didn't even post them.
But you're in them, Joe. You don't care about us because you can't care.
Yes, I do.
No, Joe. See, my brother killed my dog, and I still loved him. But you? You lose your son, and what do? You run off and find yourself a new family. There's something wrong with both of us, Joe. It's a fact.
No, there isn't, love. We're not defective. We're survivors. That's a good thing. But she just points the gun at me.
Get up and turn around,
she commands. And she is the shark inside my shark. And she unlocks the safety. And I look out the window at the city of commerce. And I won't let her win. Not when I'm finally happy. Not when I finally have everything I want. I can't do this to you. I tell her that LA brings out the worst in her, in everyone. That I'm better because I left. And that she could be better too. But she just laughs.
Oh, Joe. I'm not going to live in your guest house.
Love, listen to me. I miss 40 every second of every day, and you know I can't be happy if you're not happy. I started in the truth and swam into a lie, and she knows I don't love her, and she says she knows I wanted to leave LA.
You didn't leave because of the contract. You left because you were afraid to be a father. You know me. You knew I was never going to sign on to that Bainbridge plan. You might not realize it, but that's why you came up with that dream, to push me away. And I understand it, I do. You didn't come back to find us because deep down, you know that I'm just like you, bad beyond repair.
Those are dangerous words, and when a toaster is bad beyond repair, you don't break out the screwdriver. You don't try and fix it. You throw it in a dumpster. And there are dumpsters in this building, in this casino. I'm here now, love.
Right, she says. Just like me.
We don't belong in the same boat, and I know where this boat is going. Down. I have to paddle. I have to fight. Love, we're not bad people. She won't look at me. She won't give me an oar.
You're here because you love them, not me. But I won't let them wind up like my brother, Joe. Like those girls, I can't do that. I won't.
She raises the gun, and her finger squeezes the trigger. The explosion is silent, deadly. The circuit breaks. The lights go out all at once, and I fall into a black hole.
Chapter 42. The black hole succumbs to white light, and white light reveals white walls, and all the beeping tells me that I'm not in heaven. I'm in a hospital, and the beeping is incessant, and where are you? Where am I? There was a gun. Love had a gun. A nurse named Ashley runs in, and she looks like Karen Minty, and I didn't kill Karen Minty. I set her free, and she's alive and well in Queens, married to a cop, pregnant for the second time in a year. I'm alive, too. I lived. I ask West Coast Minty what happened, and she smiles. She has long blonde hair, and she wears too much eyeliner.
You got shot, honey, but you're okay. The doctor will be in soon.
How long has it been? She points to a whiteboard, and it's been who the fuck knows how many hours and 13 days. And I tear at the sheets because I missed Nomi's graduation. Did my balloons arrive, and do you think I bailed on you? And where is my goddamn phone? West Coast Minty wants me to calm down, and I have rights. I want my phone.
Honey, she says, your dad has your phone. He'll be back soon. Just take it easy.
I don't have a dad, and I might not have a girlfriend anymore. Do you hate me? Do you know where I am? And as promised, as threatened, the doctor is here with a herd of non-doctors, and where the fuck is my dad? West Coast Minty deserts me, and my doctor looks more like a real estate agent than a physician, and I really do fucking hate L.A. He flips through my chart. So, how are we doing, Joe? I tell him I need my phone, and the not-doctors laugh and say that my sense of humor is intact. The doctor points at my head. I have three words for you, Joe. Location, location, location. He really did miss his calling in real estate, and he brags about his work, how he saved my life. As if that isn't his fucking job. As if I care. As if I don't need my fucking phone and all the details go in one ear and out the other, and I don't care that less than 5% of people recover from this kind of gunshot. Where the fuck is my phone? We'll keep you here for a couple more days. In the great tradition of Mel Gibson and conspiracy theory, and countless other survivors who claw their way out of hospitals, I smile. That sounds good. You're a lucky man, Joe. I'm not sure if you're religious, but if there's someone you want to talk to, we have plenty of people. I want to talk to you, and I need my fucking phone. And he leaves. Nice bedside manner. And I'm not lucky. Love kidnapped my son and shot me in the head, and where is she? Where is my son? Where is my fucking phone? I press my emergency button and I sit up in my bed. Calm now. Ashley, I say, can you tell me what happened? Ashley knows it all.
She freaking loves the pantry.
And she moved here from Iowa hoping that she would meet famous people, and she did. She saw Love's movie, and that's why it's so hard for her to tell me what happened, but it's also why she's so excited to do it.
Love shot you,
she tells me, and then she checks the door for the 10th time.
And you do promise you won't tell them I told you? I don't want to lose my job.
Ashley, I swear to God. She holds my hand, and I look at her knuckles and think of your knuckles, and then Ashley Minty tells me that Love Quinn is dead. The words are garbled. My brain won't let them in. My heart flexes. No. Love Quinn can't be dead. Love Quinn gave life to my son, and it's not her time. And yes, she was upset. She was down on herself, but we've all been there, and she wouldn't do that to our son. She couldn't do that to our son. Ashley is wrong because she has to be wrong. No, I say, that's impossible.
I shouldn't have told you.
Ashley, wait. But Ashley Minty does not wait. She grabs her charts and makes me swear again not to tell anyone, and I look around the room. Who is there to tell? She leaves, and I start crying, and I'm still at it an hour later, and Bon Jovi can fuck off, because true love isn't suicide after all. It's attempted murder-suicide, and my son has no mother. Not anymore. And the only thing worse than a bad mother is no mother. I have no father.
Your dad has your phone.
And I'm alone, as if I have no son, no girlfriend, no stepdaughter, and my eyes are pounding, my head is throbbing, and then my chest is on fire, and there is a voice. Easy now. The voice belongs to Ray Quinn. Older and a little wider, so many more liver spots on his face. He's standing in the doorway and comes to sit in the chair by my bed. He hands me my phone. A dad, not my dad. Love's dad. All right, he says. So it's like this. We've told our friends and family that Love had cancer. Did she? No, he says. Let me finish because you need to hear every word I say and make sure you remember every word. Understood? I nod, as if I'm in a position to remember anything. We told the authorities that you were mugged in that casino. I wasn't mugged. Love shot me, and then she shot herself. Okay. It's a nasty place, that commerce, and the drug fiend, the shooter. Well, he knew where the cameras were, so that's why there's no security footage. I glance at my phone, and Ray is old school. Are you listening? Yes, I say. And I finish my text to you. I'm sorry, can I call you? So basically, if I'm asked, Love died of cancer. Cancer. What kind? Women's cancer. Really old school, and he rubs his eyes. Cervical, he says. And I got shot in the hallway. He stares at me. Yes, you did, Joe. Yes, you did. My phone is deathly silent, and Love is dead, and death is all around me. It's in Ray's hollow eyes. I want you. I need you. You ignore my texts, and I get it, but I got shot. My son is an orphan. This is too much at once, and Ray sighs. If you'll excuse me. The second the bathroom door closes, I call you, and I get voicemail. Mary Kay, it's me. I'm sorry. I don't want you to worry. I'll be home soon. I'm okay, and again, I'm sorry. I go on Twitter, and sure enough, there's Tressa posting a Beatles song she doesn't know by heart. This is for you, Love Quinn. Still can't believe it. Kombucha smooches forever. Hashtag RIP love. Hashtag fuck cancer. I click on Love's obituary. It's all lies. They don't tell us that she lied about being sequestered with a jury. They don't tell us that she bought a weapon of mass destruction in Claremont. And they don't tell us that she tried and failed to kill me, that she succeeded in ending her own life. Los Angeles can fuck off and die because it really is the loneliest place in the world, and I stare at the last line of the fake news story. In lieu of flowers, we ask for donations to the American Cancer Society. Ray comes back and he must hate himself right now. He had 2 children and neither one made it to 40. He sits in the chair by my bed. The chair that's meant for the people who love you. So, he says, how you feeling? I'm in shock. You? Ray ignores my question and lugs his body off the chair. He moves like a mafioso, and time hasn't been good to him. Shuffling in shiny crocodile loafers, no socks, doused in cologne as if that isn't rude to do when you go to a hospital. He locks the door, and is that allowed? You okay, Ray? Then he turns, flying across the room. He takes off his necktie and comes at me and wraps that tie around my neck, and I can't move. I can't breathe. I just die underneath, and I punch the air, but I'm weak.
Finally, he loosens his grip, and then he throws the tie at me and spits.
"Dottie," he says. "The only reason I can't do it is Dottie."
I still can't breathe. He said he won't kill me because of Dottie, but he wants to kill me, and if he did, I too would get cancer. He picks up his tie and he's meticulous with it, looping it around his big fat neck, making that knot just right, casually talking about his father who taught him how to properly tie a tie. Ray had a great dad. I had no dad. I still don't know how to tie a fucking tie. But a good childhood doesn't mean shit, because I'm not the one in here trying to murder someone.
"All right," he says. "You woke up, and they warned me that might happen. So how much more is it going to take to get rid of you once and for all?"
I don't want money. I survived a gunshot, and the family man should know better. I just want 40, Ray. That's it.
40 grand?
Unbelievable, and yet I should have expected it. My son. He makes a fist and he lowers his hand.
"He's not your son. You walked away.
You pushed me away, and I went because that's what love wanted."
"Icicles," he says. "Icicles in your veins."
"He's my son.
And you tell me you'd take good care of him?"
"Yes, I would."
"So you're a reformed man. Mr. Community Service up on Bainbridge Island?"
"We'd come to visit once a month. More than that."
"And you've been doing well up there?"
"Ray, I'm the first one to thank you for all that you did for me, and you've seen me. I've been crying all day, and I'll never get over this, and I'll never forgive myself for not getting that gun away from..."
"I don't want to say your name. I'm not ready.
Look, let me do the right thing here. Let me take care of my son."
"Well..."
He doesn't say yes, but he doesn't say no, and I sit up. I look him in the eye. "You know it's what she would want."
"Oh, kid," he says. "You're in no position to speculate about my daughter's wishes. She wanted you to go away."
"I know," I say. "But she made that plan when we were apart. She was, well..."
"It's in the genes," he says. "Dottie was postpartum, too."
He rolls his eyes, and if only he could get pregnant and crawl on all fours and bleed and shit and give birth, maybe then he wouldn't be so cavalier about what it means to have a baby, and that's not what I meant, but I nod.
"Ray, you're right. She made the contract. She wanted me gone. I know this will sound stupid, but she didn't block me on Instagram." "Speak English."
"She made all these Instagram stories, right? And when you make stories..."
"Movies?"
"Pictures, videos."
"Who wrote the scripts?"
"I am gonna lose my mind." "They're like home movies. You put them online and you decide who can see them. And it's very easy to block people, Ray, but love wanted me to watch our son growing up. And I think she'd want me to step in and watch out for him."
"She shot you in the head."
"I have no fucking comeback for that. And I never should have brought her stories into this mess.
I'm a reasonable man, Joe."
"He just tried to kill me, too."
"And Dottie and I aren't getting any younger."
"You look great, though." I count his liver spots and he smiles.
"Thanks, son. Now you're up in Mercer Island, is it?"
"Bainbridge," I say. "And it really is a great place to raise a family. The house is terrific. Thank you for that. And I have a guest house. We could do this together. 40 could live with me, and you and Dottie, well, you'd be welcome any time. All the time." He reaches for his phone, and is this really happening? I can see it now, Mary Kay. You and me and my son and your meerkat, and things really do work out for the best. Sorry, love, but maybe you knew 40 needs me now, right now. And Ray is old school, a tad violent, but he knows right from wrong, and he knows that what love did was wrong. He's a father, and I'm a father. He tosses his phone onto my lap. Here's a story that I watched recently. It's like another bullet hit my head, only this time I don't black out. I'm in the video. I'm lugging R.I.P. Melanda into the hole in Fort Ward, and that movie is only telling half the story. I did not kill her. I did not do it. Oliver was supposed to be my friend. He gave me his word. This is not fucking fair, and Ray just smiles. We're the same in that way, Joe. I, too, call him like I see him, and I see you. Ray, that's not what it looks like. And you can't trust Oliver. And I did trust Oliver. He must have doctored that footage. I didn't kill Melanda. She committed suicide in my house. And I suppose you didn't kill the rock star, either? The one whose wife you were shtupping up there? I'm not shtupping you, and I tell the fucking truth. No, Ray, I didn't kill Phil DeMarco. He had substance abuse issues, and he took some bad pills. His liver spots darken. You're poison, Joe. This Melanda person, this Phil you mention, do I need to remind you that both of my children are also dead because of you? It's not my fault that his kids are fucked up and a lot of rich kids don't outlive their parents, and my heart is pounding, and did Ashley poison me with adrenaline? Now you listen here, he says. I am a father. You are nothing. You are a sperm donor. I am a father. Ray, please. I provide for the child. I make the money, so I say what goes. And right now, I say you won't get within 100 feet of my grandson for the rest of his life. My daughter wasn't a good shot. But if you try and get near my grandson, well, Joe, my men don't miss. He slams a contract on my tray table, and then he drops a pen. All right, Professor. Sign. This is it. This is a moment of my life. This is my second chance. The second time a Quinn bullied me with a contract. Ray, you're making a bad decision. You have the wrong idea about me, and 40 will want to meet his father one day. Over my dead body, he says. No, scratch that. Over yours. The sun is bright today, showcasing Ray's liver spots. He sees them in the mirror every morning, ominous blotches that remind him that he won't last forever, no matter how well he does with his investments and his tax evasion. I will outlive this American oligarch, and that's why he hates me. Not because of what he thinks I did to his children. He knows that I know that he failed as a father. This is not a do-over. This is new territory. He has the money. He has the power. He has guns. This is why it takes time to smash the patriarchy. People like Ray Quinn don't just have the support of the injustice system. They own it. If I want to live to meet my son, I only have one option. I sign the contract. I have faith in my son. Hari 40, hallelujah. And Hari raised liver spots, too. Cancer is coming for that bastard, and who knows? Maybe it's already here. Chapter 43. The doctor and the nurse wouldn't let me leave, Mary Kay. They held me hostage. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And on my third day of recovery, Howie had a seizure in the library. I read about it on the Bainbridge Facebook page. I texted you. I know you're mad, but how's Howie? I'm worried about him. And I meant it. I was worried about the mothball. but you ignored me. I wasted 16 days of our life in that hospital bed because, sure, health is fun, but what good is health without love? I called you, Mary Kay. I texted you. You ignored me, and then you ignored me some more. I ordered Bene Pizza for you and the Meerkat on Postmates, and the delivery was incomplete. Just like us. I missed Nomi's graduation, unforgivable, like missing the birth of my son, and I can't see you on Instagram. You blocked me. And the Meerkat has gone quiet on her own profile.
Now, there's no refill on this prescription, but these should get you through the worst of it,
the outtake nurse says. I grab the fucking pills and my plastic bag of papers and I bang on the elevator buttons. Come on! And I hightail it to Burbank Airport, but my flight is delayed. And I sit there watching planes come and go, listening to Stephen Bishop songs blur into Steely Dan songs, and finally, it's time to board. We land at SeaTac, and now that I'm really here, really close, it's starting to hit me. You might not ever forgive me. After all, love never forgave me. I call a lift, and I get into the lift, and I board the ferry, and the I am broken clock is still broken, and I disappeared on you. I broke my promise to you. We reach Bainbridge, and the parking lot is buzzing with tourists and bicycles. And it's not summer just yet, but the men are in sandals and the mommies are in light little jackets and time has passed. Is it too much time? I walk all the way home and I turn onto my street and you were right, Mary Kay. This isn't Cedar Cove. If it were, you would be watering our flowers and making a visor with your hand and waving at me.
Joe, you're here!
I walk into my house. And it doesn't smell like brownies, and you filled the cat food dispensers, and Licious stares at me as if he's not sure who I am. Fuck you, cat. And Riffic hisses. Fuck you, too. And Tastic doesn't even get off the fucking couch, so fuck him the most, but no. They didn't do anything wrong. I did. Your shoes are not lined up on the doormat, and I call Oliver, and a woman with a Lebanese accent says, "There is no Oliver." And that's typical. He changed his phone number. He was never my friend, and his house is furnished, and people in LA just use you to get what they want, and I walk to my guest house, and I hope to see your things in here. But my second little house is empty, too. You ghosted me, and I have to breathe in spite of my pain. You only ghosted me because you think I ghosted you. I would never do that to you, and you know that deep down, don't you? I am a wounded soldier of love, home from World War III. I clean myself up, and I should probably drive to the library instead of walking, but I like the idea of you seeing me wounded, struggling, and sweaty. When I get there, I hesitate at the front door of the Bainbridge Public Library, and then I take a deep, first page of a new book kind of breath, and I open the door, and there you are in the same spot where you were the first day I laid eyes on you. You drop your book on the counter, splat. Roxane Gay today, a far cry from our day one Murakami, all but sucked inside. You march across the library, and I follow you outside, and you head for our love seat. You don't sit. Bad omen. And you make two fists, and you seethe.
Oh, fuck it!
Now you sit, omen reversed, and I sit too. You cross your legs, tights even today, in early summer, like a widow in mourning, and do I put a hand on your knee to remind you of the heat between us? I don't. Mary Kay?
Nope, don't even try.
I'm sorry.
Yet?
I got shot.
That's nice.
That's not nice, and I touch the bandage on my temple, and you fold your arms.
If you came here looking for pity, you may as well just leave.
I know I fucked up. I was in the hospital, Mary Kay. I got shot, and I called you. I texted you. Hell, I tried to send you guys a pizza. You nod.
Howie died.
That's not my fault. Howie was a widower hanging on by a thread, by a poem. I know, I saw. And I texted you when I read about it, and I called you. I can't make this about me. How are you? How was Nomi's graduation? You uncross your legs and clamp your hands over your knees as if you don't want me to see them, let alone touch them. Your knuckles are brass mountains. Mute. Hannibal, I know I fucked up. I'm not trying to make excuses. You don't call me Clarice, and your voice is new.
I think you should go.
We have to talk about this. You can't just punish me because I got mugged. Foxes are nasty. They kill house cats, and you are no different.
You just don't get it, Joe. And I am going back inside.
Wait. You have to let me explain what happened.
I don't have to do anything, and this is our pattern. I see that now. It's always me telling you that you don't owe me an explanation, or you telling me that I don't owe you an explanation, and we tried, but it doesn't work.
This is different. You shrug.
We're a bad fit. We're always apologizing or making big, ridiculous leaps that neither one of us are really prepared for. I don't hate you, but I know this doesn't work.
You can't do this to me, Mary Kay. You can't refuse to talk about it.
No, Joe. See, that's the thing that you don't seem to understand about relationships, about women. Your feelings are not my responsibility.
Yes, they fucking are. That's called love. That's called us. I know that.
So let's be adults. I messed up too. I realize I was coming on way too strong, moving in with you, asking you to never leave me.
You were not coming on too strong. I loved all of it.
You don't get to say that after what you did, Joe. Actions speak louder than words, and you sit here and you don't even understand why I'm mad, do you?
You're mad that I left. But Mary Kay, I left you a note.
A note?
You say.
Yes, you left me a note. Mary Kay, I had to go to L.A. for a family emergency. I'll call you when I land. I'm so sorry. Love, Joe.
That is why you're mad at me. That fucking note. But you memorized that note, and I still have a chance. I'm sorry.
I don't care if you're sorry, Joe. I care that you didn't wake me up to tell me what happened. I care that you were vague. When people are together, they tell the truth. They don't say bullshit like family emergency. They grab your shoulders, they turn on the lights, and they tell you exactly what happened, and they ask you to come with them, Joe. That's what adults do.
I'm sorry. Look, it wasn't family, not exactly, but this girl I dated in L.A., her family is terrible. It's true. And she got sick, and...
Joe, it's too late. You're wasting your time.
You say that, but you don't move, and you're right, but you're wrong. Well, how about seeing it from my perspective, Mary Kay? You were married to someone... I know, and God bless him, may he rest in peace, but he dumped every single thing on you every single day. He didn't hesitate to unload on you at 4 a.m., and did you ever think, maybe I was only trying to let you get a good night's sleep? Did you ever think maybe I did that because I thought that was a good way for me to love you in that moment?
Maybe it's not in your nature to love.
Goosebumps sprout on my arms and fresh bullets zing my head, my heart. That's the worst thing you ever said to me, and we're on our fucking love seat, and you sigh.
I'm sorry. This is exactly what I didn't want. I didn't want a fight, and I do hope your ex is all better, but it's over, Joe, and you need to accept that.
I rub my head just enough to remind you that I am wounded. Well, I don't think it is.
I'm actually happy that you brought Phil into this.
I never should have brought that rat into this.
Because it really is about him. The one day he needed me to be there, I was with you. I'll never forgive myself for that, Joe. And this whole disappearing act, The wounded warrior bit? You're right. It does feel too familiar. I'm not going to spend any more of my time taking care of a man who walks out on me and comes back wounded and needs me to fix it.
You take a deep, end-of-the-book kind of breath, as if you are ready for this damn novel to be over, and then you offer your hand as if you no longer believe in love. You say that dirty word again.
Friends?
Love didn't murder me, but she got what she wanted in her psychotic, depressive state. She murdered us. I shake your hand. Friends. And the power goes out all over my body, and I walk to the parking lot. I am in no condition to walk, to drive. I find shade beneath a tree.
So it lives.
I look up, and it's the meerkat. She aged while I was gone. Or maybe that's just me, and maybe I'm in denial because she also regressed again. She's back on Columbine, squinting. Know me? I say. Congratulations, graduate. How you doing?
Well, I didn't get stabbed in the head.
Shot, I say. But it's no big deal. She wants to see the wound up close, and I tell her to stay where she is, because if you were watching us, and I hope you are watching, I want you to know that I'm not using my wound to get attention, and I would tear this Band-Aid off my fucking head if I could. She nods.
Cool.
Look, I'm sorry about disappearing.
Oh, I've barely been here. I made some friends in Seattle. Been at Don and Peggy's a lot. Anyway, are we moving back to your house? Because the Marshall Suite is so gross, and I hate sharing a room with my mom.
You hate me so much that you moved into Oliver's old hotel, and damn you, R.I.P. Love Quinn. Well, I say, your mom's not too happy with me right now. She shrugs.
My mom's never happy, except when she's with you.
And then she rocks back and forth on her sneakers that are too young for her, sneakers that light up.
Seriously, Joe? See you soon. I mean, it's fine. It is.
She says that with such confidence, and she knows you in ways that I don't. She's known you her whole life, and she tells me that she's right about you, Mary Kay. You are happy when you're with me, and that is the bottom line, and I see you in the library. You see me and the meerkat catching up. You know this is meant to be. The meerkat takes off.
Sorry you got shot in the head.
And I look into the window, into your eyes. You don't wave. But you don't give me the finger. You turn your back on me right now and pretend to be busy with a mothball. You're not, but you're not done with me. I just have to make things right. The walk home is brutal and my head is throbbing, and I should probably have taken a cab from the ferry to my house, and I should probably have lain low on my first day back. I finally give in and pop a pain pill, and I pick up your filthy doormat and throw it into the washing machine. I have to get our house ready for you to come home. And I watch the doormat go round around. It's the drugs. I hate drugs. And I put my hands on the glass. See the boats go sailing. And I am drooling and sweating, and my head is full of tainted cotton candy. These pills are too much, and the doormat is a sailboat. I'm hallucinating. I hear Stephen Bishop in the airport, singing about women in Jamaica, and then the music that isn't real dies, and I am back in my house, and my feet are on the floor of my laundry room, and these are my feet, and the doormat isn't a sailboat. But I am not alone. I see a man in the glass. This is Bainbridge, and it's safe, but I was gone for 2 weeks, and criminals do this. They watch houses. He probably thought I was gone. He takes a step forward, and I make a fist,
and his shadow is clearer now, and this is Bainbridge, and it's probably a misunderstanding. A neighbor concerned about the sudden activity in the house. But Bainbridge is an island in a state in the country of America, and America is violent, and if the man were here on a wellness call, he would say it. I squint like the meerkat and take a closer look at his reflection. I see a baseball cap and narrow sloping shoulders. He is short. Short as Shortus. I turn around, and it is Shortus, but he didn't pop by my house to make sure I'm okay. He's armed, and I'm empty-handed and slow. Drugs are evil, and the blow is fast. Thwack! Man down, Mary Kay. One of the good ones. Chapter 44. People say that victim shaming is a bad thing, but sometimes the victim should be fucking ashamed. I took a goddamn pain pill on an empty stomach, and I didn't lock my doors as if I'm some fourth-generation Bainbridge bumfuck who refuses to lock his doors because once upon a time, the island was safe and you didn't have to lock your doors, so you know what? I deserve to be tied up by a sixth-generation Bainbridge CrossFit lunatic in his Olympic Mountain hideaway cabin. Shortus didn't do this to me. I did this to myself. I smell Windex, Clorox, things that end with the letter X, and I can't punch him, my hands are tied, and I can't kick him, my legs are locked at the ankles, and I have a head wound, and I don't know karate. He put a bag on my head. I can't see. He stuffed a sock in my mouth. I think the sock is dirty. And I wiggle my tongue, and this is not how it ends for us. Shortus will not kill me. Or maybe he will, because he's close now. You just couldn't stay away, could you? I make a sound, and he spits at the bag over my face. You worm your way into that library. You worm your way into our lives. That piece of shit has been crybaby drops dead, and you worm your way into her house. I was right. This is about you. I try to worm the words out of my mouth, but the sock won't let me, and he's on his feet now. Stomp, stomp, stomp. And the worst part is, I knew it. I knew you were bad news. You and me both, asshole. You move here, and suddenly all's I hear about is Joe. He volunteers. He reads a lot. In my head, I'm thinking, sounds like a fucking pansy, but she won't shut up about you, so I figure, I gotta meet this guy, see what he's about, and then I get a look at you, and you're soft. You got no job. You're a loser. I'm thinking, this poor loser's no threat. I get you a deal at CrossFit. I let you tag along for beers, even though everyone thinks you're a fucking snob. But do I worry? Nah. You crash lunch at the diner and you're talking chick flicks with Melanda. You're an even bigger pansy than I thought, and I think, good. Maybe that feminazi will finally shut up if she gets some good dick in her. I knew that lunch with your friends was a bad idea, Mary Kay, and he's twisting my words, and this is Twitter in real life. I am muted, blocked. I let you mope around in your slick sweaters. Cashmere isn't slick, you moron. I let her go on about how smart you are, even though you didn't even go to college. Even in Cedar Cove, there has to be some asshole talking about college. And fuck you, American caste system. But I'm no dumbass, you sweater-wearing volunteer. The bump on my head is playing ping-pong with a hockey puck in the hole in my head, and he's close again, breathing. She had it bad for you. You got her to move in with you. I think I hear his heart. Does he have a knife? Even then, I wasn't worried. You moved in on her after the has-been finally croaked, and all girls go nuts when they're sad. I wasn't surprised when you split. I told her myself, you can't trust a man who doesn't take care of his body, and I was just about to get back in there. I smell urine. He's peeing on me. On my legs. You shouldn't have come back, pansy. And you shouldn't have gone to the library and tried to get her back. He zips up, and this is why you kill people. Because most people are horrible. He kicks me in the balls, and it's so predictable that it doesn't hurt quite as bad as it would have were there an element of surprise. And the pain in my balls is another hockey puck, and now my balls are in the game with the hole in my head and the bump on my head, and is this how I die? From ping pong? The whining, man! Joe came back! I need time to think! He kicks me in the balls again. I said, you're out of your mind! He's a loser! Can't even commit to CrossFit! Oh, God, he thinks he's my trainer, and he kicks me in the leg, and my shin is in the game too now. Ping, pong, pain, pong. I've been working that girl for years, and unlike you, I never ran away. Never. That's a kick to my other shin, and the pain pong is now a tournament, a death match, and signs, signs, everywhere, signs, and I missed every fucking one of them. You called him a saint, truly, and the first time you ever told me about him, you were defending his honor. He cleaned your gutters, an animal marking his fucking territory the same way he marks his body with that Cooley Hardware logo so that you see his last name and think maybe you could be Mrs. fucking Cooley. He spits in my face. No job, no muscles, no nothing. That's what you are. You were wrong about him, but you were dead on about me, and I am bad at reading people, and how did I not realize that his hardware store is a jealousy trap? He refers to those women in his shop as girls to make you feel old, endangered, and the reddest flag of all, he gave your daughter a job in his fucking store. No wonder she quit. He probably bugged her 10 times a day. So how's your mom, Nomi? Tell her Uncle Seamus said hi. My life doesn't flash through my eyes, but I remember things I didn't know that I remember. Like Melinda's notepad in her phone, how she griped about Mary Kay and Seamus. MK's attachment to Seamus is so weird. I know she was only 17 when they hooked up, and I know it was only 5 minutes, but ew. I should have known then, same way I should have known when he blasted Kid Rock at the gym, the remake song about the teenage summer fuckfest by the lake. He's been carrying a torch for you since you were 17 years old. He growls, close. Look at how soft you got. What did you even do for the past few weeks, pansy? 'Cause I can tell you weren't working out. There is no conversation subject more boring than exercise, and this is why it's dangerous for women to be nice to men, Mary Kay. He swats the side of my head. Ping, pain, pain, pong. You split town, you come back out of nowhere, and she's ready to jump your bones, but St. Seamus is here to make things right. He got Roman on the succession quiz, Mary Kay. He's evil. Pure evil. Are you listening to me, Juberg? You're done with her. It's over. He hits me and he kicks me, and it's March Madness in my head, and it's the World Series of pain in my balls. And if I get out of this, those big pharma fuckwits will be getting a strongly worded letter from me. Their little pain pills don't do shit. And he punches me in the face. She's mine! You piece of pussy-ass Hebe shit! I'm only half-Jewish, and I whole hate him, and you would too if you could hear him right now. And she's gonna be mine forever, and you know why, Hebe? I hadn't heard that word since I was 10 years old, and he is close now, breathing at me, on me. Because I'm a man, you bookworm little bitch, and in the real world? Oh, Shortus. Bainbridge Island is not the real world, and in the real world, people in situations like this die. R.I.P. Beck died. She kept a knockin', but she couldn't get out, and am I next? I flex and I push, but I can't get out, and he's too quiet. I remember that first touch in the library. Your hand in mine. Don't tell the others. I didn't, Mary Kay. You did. You told the others. You threw us up on Instagram. You were a fox, and you wanted to show off. You wanted to kiss me in the window at 11 Winery, and you wanted everyone to know we were living together. You wanted your friends to approve, and it's not the pain. It's not the possibility of death. It's the fact that we really could have had our family if you had just thrown your arms around me a few hours ago, when I was in the kind of pain that can be healed with a hug. Now you're going to lose me, and I don't want that for you. You've already lost so much. Shortest yanks me by the neck, and my body hits the floor, and the ping-pong tournament is a melee, hockey pucks hurling on every playing field in my body. I'm not going to kill you, he says. You think it's so safe up here, and it is. Our people are good people, but we got animals, Jew boy. We got lots of animals, and one of them is going to get you.
Chapter 45. My back is up against bark. He strapped me to a tree, and I still can't see because of the bag on my head. Birds chirp, and I can't call for help. I'm still gagged, and Shortus has a rifle. It's too soon. Love only pulled a gun on me a couple of weeks ago. Look how that worked out. She's dead. And you called this man the giving tree, and he calls me a tree hugger, and I can't fucking talk. He is close again. Close as in armed. And for fuck's sake, America, get rid of your goddamn guns. Today's the day you become a fucking man. The good thing about a bad childhood is that it prepares you for hell in the adult world, and Seamus didn't cut off my limbs, positive thinking, but he has a bucket of blood. Whose blood? And he's splashing it on me like holy water, and this isn't a cold and broken holla-fucking-luya. This is grim. The ropes are tight, naval knots, and he wasn't in the fucking Navy, but he did go to camp, and a lot of people would lose their shit, but unlike the coddled peach Salingers of this world, I don't need help when it comes to self-soothing. I know how to survive, and I will survive because he said it himself. You have it bad for me, and you want to be with me. You are here for me now, in the blackness of my panic. In my mind, I see you on our love seat, and you see me, and you want me to be okay. You love me, and I don't want you to worry, so I try to make you laugh. I sing because you like it when I sing, and you know the tune. How will I know if he's gonna kill me? I say a prayer, but I'm tied to this tree. Shortus breaks my song with a gunshot, pop. And he shoots an animal, and I bet it was a rabbit, because he spits and grunts. Sorry, Thumper. He picks up his bucket of blood again and splashes it on my back, on my skin. We need some real critters, he says. These bunnies are bullshit. I can't believe it either, Mary Kay. Your friend is pouring blood on me to lure innocent woodland creatures, and so far it's just tiny ones. Rabbits and squirrels, but he lets them get close. I am sniffed and I've been nipped, and then he kills these living things, and I am safe, but I am not fucking safe. What if a bear comes? There are bears, if I'm to believe him, and dying for love is so bittersweet. I'm asking you how the fuck you didn't see through this psychopath. You fade. I can't see your face. He kicks the back of my knee. You pissed yourself like a little bitch. I hear his Timberlands pounding. He's walking away again, and the bucket is in play. More blood on my body, and he's howling for coyotes, and if they come in a pack, and they do move in packs, they're like friends. We are dead. Both of us. He hoots, and he makes catcalls. Come on, cougars, I know you're out there. And he is a fourth-grade boy picking out his favorite wild animal for no good reason. He sits somewhere and he mews at the cougars, and are there cougars in these mountains? He laughs. Are you crying, pussy? Oh, man, you know I wish we did put some meat on your bones. Cougars gotta eat, too. He mews again, and he says that Robert Frost was right and no poetry. No. Nothing gold can stay, pony boy. I love that movie, man, I do. It was a book, you fucking moron, and he snorts. Fucking bullshit ending, though, because Ponyboy should have croaked like his little bitch-ass friend. The Socs, they were the good guys, but the movie makes them all out to be so bad just because they got good families. He shoots something. A bunny? A squirrel? I don't know. I can't know. See? You're what happens in real life, fucking hoodlum. How long you been here and not one friend comes to visit? Fucking freak. I hate when he talks because I can't hear the branches or the footsteps of God knows what might be approaching, and Shortus finally does stop talking, but then I hear the branches and the footsteps of God knows what, and the theme of my bar fucking mitzvah is death, and he's on the move. Running. In my face. Don't even think I'm gonna let some little squirrel peck at you, pussy. You need to bleed, just like all the little bitches do when they man up and become women. I am fucking bleeding. The ropes are cutting my wrists. And I try to talk, and I shake my arms, and he spits at my arms. That's rope burn, you pussy. You need to bleed like a man. He's on the move again. Timberland's on leaves. Crunch, crunch, crunch. And I see you in a hall of mirrors, and you sing to me. You want to save me.
There's a man I know. Joe's the one I dream about.
And you are safe in a cushy hall of mirrors where nothing bad can happen to you, and I am here in the woods. There are jaws on my leg, teeth. That's my skin cracking, and that's my blood leaking onto my pants, and then pop. The jaws let go, and it's another bunny down, but I am wrong. Shortus whistles.
Huh, he says. I think this fox was pregnant.
He killed a fox. And you are my fox, and he's doing something different, shaking his phone.
Man, he says, when I get back down and I see her, I'm gonna tell her she was right to bitch about the shitty Wi-Fi. I can't even get the score on the Sounders game.
You were here with him. How could you do that to me? And the image of the two of you in these woods is a shark inside my shark, and he's a liar. Shortest lies. This I know for a fact, and I have to decide that you were never here, so I do that right now. He killed my fox, and he drops his phone. He heard something. I heard it too. Something larger than a squirrel, and this is the Stephen King book Gerald's Game, and unlike Gerald's wife, whose husband was dead and bad, I have someone to live for. You. I beg and I plead with the universe to call off the cougar, or is it a bear? And I promise if I get out of this, I will do better. I will be the best goddamn man on planet fucking Earth, and Gerald's wife had it easy. No bag on her fucking head. My senses are hot wiring, and I can't hear, and I can't see, and I feel the tongue of something wild. Something incapable of knowing the difference between a good man like me and a scorpion salamander of a man like Shortus. And is it a wolf? Pop! And the living thing whinnies and drops and Shortus sighs.
Duck, duck, goat! Goddamn hippies and their goats. Just do your yoga and leave the animals out of it.
R.I.P., goat. No supernatural forces coming to save me in this dull fucking neck of the woods. And Shortus drops his weapon. The flies are all upon me now, loud and close. Mundane.
Whole shit ton of girls out there, Joe, and you just had to fix your eyes on mine.
You're not branded. You don't belong to him. I scream into my sock.
The worst part about all this, oh man, she tells me she wants you, and she says that me and her can be friends.
That's your right, Mary Kay. And when you said that to me, did I kidnap your husband? No. I accepted your terms, and this is what I get for it, and I scream again. It's no use.
1 week ago, one fucking week ago, she was in my cabin with me, and you come back out of nowhere, and boom, finito. She'd be here right now if it wasn't for you, you bookworm piece of shit.
It hurts to think of you in these woods with him, and this is not how I want to die. Knowing that you slept with him when you were 17 is one thing, but last week? No. You should have told me that he pines for you, Mary Kay. We all get weak, we all make mistakes, and I could have martyred your saint, and then I wouldn't be tied to this tree, and he digs his rifle into my back.
Stop crying, bitch! This is nothing compared to what I went through with my soccer team, or my frat, or my old man, so man up already!
I am caught in the toxic cycle of masculinity, the one quietly tolerated by the American system of miseducation, and he was hazed, so he wants to haze me. And dying for love is so bittersweet. He shoots another living thing, and he whines, fucking squirrels. And every dead animal is a reminder that the days really do go too fast. My life is ending, and I don't want to die. I don't want my son to be an orphan. He lost his mother. He can't lose me, too. I try to picture him older, and I can't, too scared. And I try to remember being with you on our love seat, and I can't do that either. The ping pong tournament ended, and the flocks of rabid fans are long gone. I will die here, and I can't even hate him, because like you, I am too good for my own good. The empathy bordello has been ransacked and burnt to the ground before it even existed, and he heard something, and he hisses.
Hey! He screams. What is that?
My eustachian tubes go to high alert. I heard it too. Is it you? You know about this cabin. You rejected him today, and you've been to this cabin, and did you come back?
I'm warning you, buddy! You're on my property!
My heart pounds, and I can't hear so well, and I want it to be you. Save me. And I don't want it to be you. He could kill you, and I don't know what to want. Cops? Yes? Let you be the savvy fox that knows better than to come here alone.
I'm counting to three, he says. One.
Please, God, let it be her.
Two.
Please, God, don't let it be her. He doesn't make it to the number three. His voice is thwarted by the pop of a gun. Not his pop. A different gun. I can't see and I can't hear, but I see dead people because in my heart, I know that Shortus is dead. I scream into my sweaty sock for help. Thank God for guns. And the footsteps are getting closer, but my heart is beating faster. I want my nervous system to catch up to my brain, and I tell myself over and over that it's over. You need to calm down. And then the shooter is at my tree, breathing heavily, close. He is not a cop, because cops are loud. They announce themselves. The bag is still on my head, and a police officer would have pulled the bag off my head by now. Here goes my heart again. Tick, tick, tick. And I was so afraid of animals that I forgot about the worst of all predators, the most power-hungry predators on this planet. Humans. Urine runs down my leg once more, and the shooter puts the barrel of the gun he used to kill my enemy against the back of my head as if I am the enemy. I am crying now, my pleas about my family muffled by the sock in my mouth, and then he laughs and drops the gun.
Relax, my friend. Show's over. Score one for the Poor Boys Club.
Oliver. Chapter 46. The bag is off my head and it's over. Oliver saved my life. My son won't be an orphan and you won't have to mourn, wishing you'd told me that you love me when you had the chance. Oliver is a hero, and Oliver kept an eye on me because he was worried about me. R.I.P. Shortus was a fake friend, but Oliver is a real friend, and that's what they say. That you're lucky in this world if you have at least a couple of real friends, true friends. But all friends are flawed, and I'm still tied to the tree, and he's in Shortus's cabin, and this day in the mountains needs to end. Oliver, any luck with finding a knife?
One sec, my friend.
R.I.P. Shortus is dead, yes, but the ping pong tournament is starting up again. No more nice adrenaline to lift me out of my body, and it's impossible not to think about what Oliver did wrong. That fucking video of me and R.I.P. Melanda, and I say it again, calm. Oliver, I don't want to rush you, but I'm pretty bad out here. He hops down the front steps of the cabin, and he's carrying an Atari game set, like he didn't just end a man's life.
Check it out, Goldberg. I was just looking for one of these on first dibs.
He takes a picture of his new toy, but he can't send it to Minka. No Wi-Fi. And my skin suit crawls because, oh, that's right. My friend Oliver is a sociopath, private dancer slash screenwriter, and without him, I die in these woods, just like R.I.P. Shortus.
Oliver, I don't know how to thank you.
Oliver, move your ass and get me off this fucking tree.
No need, he says. We talked about this. When you win, I win. When I win, you win.
Then why did you show Ray that fucking video?
Well, still, thanks.
He pats me on the back, as if I'm not tied to a tree.
And I'm sorry about love, he says.
What about the video, you fucking asshole?
Thanks, I say.
I'm just still in shock right now.
Oliver begins slicing the ropes, and he's no Naval Boys camp-trained R.I.P. Shortus. He's terrible with a knife, fucking gun people, and he keeps dropping it on the ground, and what if he has a heart attack? What if he dies before he finishes his work?
So I got news. I got a new agent.
I am tied to a tree, and I got shot in the head, you Anja-fucking-Lino.
That's great. He drops the knife, and it grazes his hand, and now he is bleeding, and how the fuck did he hack it in the kitchen at Baxter's?
Yeah, he says, and we're taking my show out next week.
And no one will buy it, and it won't be because of karma. That's just how it works in L.A. How's your hand?
Oh, right,
he says, and at least he's back to work on what matters. Me, you, freedom.
So my show, you want to hear the pitch?
I had three friends on this planet, Mary Kay. My drinking buddy turned psychopath friend Seamus is dead. Ethan is engaged to Blythe. And this one is a malignant narcissist.
Sure. Cedar Cove meets Dexter.
The referee in ping pong calls a timeout and the blood stops circulating in my body. I look at him and he looks at me and he smiles.
I wasn't lying to you, my friend. We do have each other's backs.
Oliver's show is a romanticle about my life, that's stealing, and its protagonist is Johnny Bates.
You know, for The Shining and for Psycho.
And Oliver hasn't just been stealing my money. He's like your dead husband, stealing my pain. Oliver's going to sell his show to FX or HBO or Netflix. Not gonna happen. Ideas are a dime a dozen, and I can't picture him actually writing the fucking thing. And he's so slow with the knife, droning on about spin-off potential. You're out there somewhere, thinking I'm not trying to win you back, and I snap. Fucking A, Oliver. Why did you give Ray that video? You swore you wouldn't do that. Oliver stops cutting the rope, and that was not the result I was going for.
Well, you know why I did that, Joe? Because the Quins bring out the worst in us.
It's a child's answer, and it was stupid of me to ask, and I want off this fucking tree. Did he hack your phone?
Look, he says. Minka and I have a huge collection now.
You're welcome, Oliver.
And we need more space. Ray was talking like he's about to fire me. He said I'd get a huge bonus if I found something on you. I'm sorry, my friend.
He doesn't chase his apology with a but, and he plays with his fucking knife, the knife that also happens to be the key to my liberation from this truth.